Welcome, everybody, to the PlayStation 5 Central Podcast. I am your host, Dan Allen, and I'm joined by...
Kangaroomish!
Jordan. Jordan, how are you?
Boink, boink, boink. Kangaroomish, boys. It's catching on!
When you skip the intro, you can't run away.
I was too excited.
I know, I fired off a bit early there too.
When's the last time us three were together?
Been a while.
At Jordan's wedding, mate. But you're
on the show.
He's officially a married man.
I'm a married man now.
How do you feel?
Yeah.
Well,
I feel good. I was explaining to you, Dan, earlier before in the green room, if you will, how melancholy I was feeling about the wedding being over and how just sad I've been because it was such a good day. But I'm so happy that I'm married and so happy with the person I have married. But yeah, the fact that our beautiful wedding day is over now is really sad because it was such a good day.
Well, here's to a lifetime of memories you guys are going to create together.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah.
And
but I'm back, boys, and I'm ready to talk about the Kangaroomers and the Kanga news. Pew, pew, pew. Let's go.
and the shout out to who messaged you on Instagram? Who posted on your wedding photo?
We came as Romans for commenting on one of my wedding photos, talking about the Kangaroomers.
Legend.
You know what it's about. Legend.
Beautiful.
He knows.
And Vic, how are you, mate?
Doing well.
That's it?
Yeah, I can't say much more, I think.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, how about ask you something else? What have you guys been playing? Vic can kick us off.
I've been playing a lot. I think I'm nearly done. It's Jedi Survivor. Do you guys know if there's a game counter, like hours played? Because I can't find that for the life of me in that game, which is annoying.
There's one on PlayStation, not on...
I think you have to use the PlayStation tracker.
Yeah, but they're never that accurate, are they? But
no.
Yeah,
It depends if you pause it or not and you leave it on.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I've played a lot of it. Like, I've 100%ed the moon and the Coruscant and, like, 80% on the other areas and still got the story, still playing the story, but... I just unlocked, so I don't know how far I am, but I just unlocked the ability to like the balloons, you know, the grapple balloon thingies.
Yeah.
So
have you got all five stances?
Yeah, that was ages ago.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. So
really?
Look, you remember me, Dan, I'm like a cheeky bit of side content, going a bit of a, so it, that was a while ago for me, but.
What sort of side content are you doing?
I really like the realm tears. I know they're not called realm tears in Star Wars.
Are they force tears or something?
Force tears, yeah.
Defeating those two rancors and then defeating the two frog thingies was pretty hard, but well worth it. And I have a lot to say about this game, and I don't know if you want me to wait till...
Just be conscious, I'm only very early, so I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, it's not spoiler. Yeah. It's not spoiler, but... I'm really impressed. Like I remember back when Jedi Fallen Order came out, I wasn't the hottest on it, but I did say, and I remember saying this, that the next game is going to be really good because everything that in Fallen Order, they're going to iterate on, because I always thought Fallen Order was a bit bare bones. And I think they did that amazingly. I think the activities are really good. Like, you know, the bounty hunters, the realm tears, the other little activities you have to do. And I think the loot is rewarding in a way. It doesn't have to be rewarding in this game, but it's good enough for me, the cosmetics. You know, it's not like improve your speed by 0.4% like in Valhalla. So it's got good cosmetics. And I will say what I really, really, really like about this game is the worlds. Like in terms of... They've got maybe it's quality over quantity where they've got maybe three or four. They've got four key worlds or key areas, and there's a whole sandbox of things to do in those areas. And I like the way where they encourage exploration, or there's layers to each level. There's layers to each world because there's so many areas that you don't have the ability.
It's the Resident Evil effect, I call it. You unlock. Yeah. The way to get through later on, then you got to come back, circle back.
And
Yeah.
Once you unlock new force powers, that allows you to access new places. Once you unlock the new grappling, you unlock new places, and there's this whole, you realize that there's this like whole other like map within these locked areas. So every time I unlocked some key traversal ability, I got excited and I went back to the world and explored the green doors, for instance, or the balloon areas, for instance, or the, you know, where the doors have to open. So it was really fun. And I really enjoy that, that incentive and that reward of getting a new building, finding new places, new loot, new bosses and legendary enemies. It's really good. I will say that I love the combat is great. The stances are a lot of fun. I'm just using the dual wield and the pistol. The pistol stances, they're really good. Dual wield and the
pistol? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really creative, and it's a lot of fun. There's so much enemy variance, which is great. And I love the mini game, Dan. That mini
you
game.
You do. He it's loves so it. I told it. You.
Yeah. It.
And Jordan, yeah, make sure you scan all the enemies you kill, like the new enemies, because every enemy you scan, it becomes a playable unit.
Oh, okay.
I want that mini game as a full game. I want the mini game as a full game.
Do you know what it reminds me of, Dan? Because when I see a game like Strike on Horizon or Gwent, they're obviously very controlled. Like they have set rules, as set like, you know, strategies and stuff. But this one,
it's Holo like, Tactics, it's called, yeah.
Holo Tactics. It's sort of like, I don't know you guys, but have you ever seen like I'll say like Age of Empires, 400 soldiers versus 3 elephants, and like they just chuck them in the world creator and they just go ham. Mm. And obviously, when it's a simulation, it's anything can happen. So this game is like that, where you could run the same strategy against the same enemy types
and lose,
and the same and lose sometimes, win sometimes, because they do different moves, and it's really good. Like I know that's
like a mini, it's like a mini RTS.
It's a mini RTS, and it's, yeah, the even things like gardening on the rooftop and like stuff like that.
The gardening, I didn't get
like,
it.
Like, I don't mind. I didn't get it, but I don't mind it. It's nice that it's there. And
is it just a nice to have sort of?
It's just a nice to have, the fish tank, that sort of thing.
Same with the fish tank. That guy, he wobbles on and on. That scuba guy.
Oh, the dialogue is
if you accept what he's going to say, he'll talk for 10 minutes.
He will. So I just think the combat, the traversal, they've done everything they need to do well. The only main, maybe the only slight criticism I have is that the big map, I think it's Jeddah, I think it's just a bit too open, a bit too big. Like, see, when I got all the new abilities, I was excited for Coruscant and the Moon because they're short, controlled areas with really nice, expansive areas behind these locked areas. But Jeddah's huge. And then when I like teleported there or fast traveled there, ready to like, you know, explore everything, I just looked around. I'm like, I can't do this. It's too big. So I don't know. I'm just going to go through the story now. And the story is, it's good. I like it. I think it's something more there. And they, you know, the characters, they do a good job with developing them and fleshing them out, especially Cal. I really like Cal this time around. I just think that, I don't know what I was looking for in the story, but it's a good serviceable Star Wars story. But I will say the other main drawback I'd say is the performance has been pretty subpar. And I'm not even a performance guy, but I've had crashes, I've had frame drops, I've had weird animations and glitches and stop go type things, but it hasn't turned me off the game because it is so much fun and I'm enjoying it.
You just wonder what it'd be like if they actually, if everything was running, you know, smoothly.
That's what I played. I played Fallen Order a year, maybe a full 12 months, maybe not quite. I played it during lockdown in 2020 is when I played it. And that was when all of the performance issues had been fixed. And so my experience with it was nothing but positive, with the exception of the retreading of the map and how annoying that was, because it was just so hard to get from one end of the map to the other if you needed to get collectibles and that.
It's still a bit like that. It still has that a bit, sadly. It
does a little bit, yeah. And that, I think, but that's the same as quite a few games if you really think about it. Like if you were to go through some of those dungeons in Elden Ring or whatever, that's kind of the same. As much as there's some shortcuts, it's not the same as just being able to fast travel wherever you want. But yeah.
I think Elden Ring, the way I see their exploration is, you're kind of locked out by the skill you have. So the enemy types, you got to, the only reason you're not going into an area is because the enemies are too good. You can go in there, but you're not going to have a good time. In Star Wars, they have these, the areas you actually can't physically go until you've unlocked a certain ability. But you know what? Each design option I like, I actually like that because you know you're in for a good time once you get into those new areas. And I will say, Dan, I'm a fan of the skill tree. I know I'm very skeptical of skill trees or critical, and I like
this is
them.
A solid skill tree.
Yeah, it's solid, Dan. Each ability is, you feel it. It's a good iteration on whatever the previous ability was. You don't have to, like, I haven't even touched the double-bladed saber ones. Like, you know what I mean? I'm just choosing what I want, the pistol and that sort of thing. And the abilities are fun. There's some really cool, fun ones. There's like a high noon. What do you call it? Like the McCree high noon where you can lock onto, or like a mark and execute like in Splinter Cell. So it's a lot of fun.
And you can reset them as well.
Yeah. Yeah, you can reset them.
A lot of games are starting to do that, respec. Being able to respec.
Yeah.
Which is a nice addition.
BD1 is at least a bit more involved because he has, has abilities that are required. You know, that's cool. I like that they've included BD1. There's more to the droid in the story, and
he's almost treated like a human. He always introduces BD whenever he's talking to someone, and they're always communicating with BD like it's an actual person there.
Yeah, and BD is great. I think the other criticism I would say is that I feel like games do this a lot where the villains are always in the story and they're in it a lot, but they're not involved as much. You know, you know, this is how I see a lot of typical storylines is game starts, you see the villain do something really bad and you maybe have a fight with them and then they go away and they won't come till the very end sort of thing. And there might be a few cutscenes here and there where you have a hit and run with them or a near miss. And I get that that's how you do it, but I just feel like some of the villains weren't fleshed out as much as I wanted. Like I find Ravis really interesting and I wanted more of that character. I really liked the character Ravis and I haven't finished the game, so I don't know what happens in the end, but it just seems like I want, like, there's not much. I think I know that I'm pretty much at the end. So, I just wanted more of them.
Well,
so,
that's why, GLaDOS is considered one of the best villains because you're with
you throughout the whole game.
Exactly. But that's a different one. That's a bit of a twist, but anyway, yeah.
It's like, Metal Gear Solid, you know, Liquid's, I guess Liquid Snake is sort of there at the end, but what you realize is he's actually Master Miller the whole time. Like it's that was a really cool twist and you've been talking to the guy the whole time but I don't know, there's ways you can flesh out villains without having to directly have the characters face off in each other, but I just wanted more. It's probably a credit to them because the characters are so well written and I wanted more.
Joker's done well in the Batman games.
Arkham Knight, that was done well.
But then you look at someone like Vaas, who's in it for 7 minutes when you put the scenes together.
I think so. The two examples you bring up there, is it because they're there all the time, or is it because they have such memorable personalities and they're such memorable characters because of the way they're acted and they're so distinct from everyone else? Where, you know, that's not the case all the time with villains. Where sometimes they are just like the, what's the name of the stupid goblin in Hogwarts? Like Ranrock or whatever Ranrock. His name is.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're just like a grumpy little warty dwarf who pops up every now and then is like, what are you doing while you're not here? Like, what are you doing?
He shouldn't have been the villain. The female wizard should have been the villain. I know that she's long dead, but they should have made a way to bring her back.
Yeah.
I don't know. It can be done tastefully, but I'm very happy with the game. I really enjoy it. There's a lot of good activities and I want to see them iterate on it more. I think there's still actually a lot of room for improvements and a lot of room for innovation left. So
let's remember they did this pretty quick, this game. 3 years or so it took them. That's a very quick
just
turnaround.
Over three.
Yeah. There's not, I don't want to.
You kind of want them to go like take a few more years.
Yeah.
As weird as it sounds.
Stories. I would love to see it I know that the way Disney works is they have to keep things at arm's length because they have to protect their movie universe and all that.
Well, a funny story about that, actually. I'll go. You go first.
I just love to see more of a, like, I want to see more Sith. I want to see more Jedi. Like, I know that it's about the Jedi survivor and that sort of thing, but we're not going to just, like, forget that there are other Jedi, key Jedi that are still alive or key Sith that are still alive. And, yeah, I don't know. I would love, oh, you know, God, like, when I think about the old EA and you look at games like Force Unleashed and Darth Vader is just one of the main characters, or, you know, the old LucasArts types games where Yoda and Luke Skywalker and Kyle Katarn and stuff like that, they're just all there. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, the problem is now it's all, like, protected. They could include those characters, but they would literally have to look and be like, what else were they doing right now? Because, there's so many, like, there is so many, like, comics, novels, young adult books, all this sort of stuff that has all these characters doing stuff in the middle there. And that's the problem with when they try and do this stuff and they fit it in between the movies and everything, where it's just too difficult. Like, the way that we're going to get real creativity in the Star Wars universe and things outside of the movies is where they're doing things that are uncharted territories. Like, we've seen, like, when's this supposed to be? After 3, but before 4?
I think so.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that would make sense, wouldn't it? It's like, we sort of get what happens there. Like, we know what happens. So nothing game-changing can happen. We know there's no other Sith because it's just Darth Vader. George.
Yeah. Like, well, Maul's around, I guess.
Like, Maul's around, but, like, we know that he's, like, out of commission sort of after whatever happened in Rogues. And then, like, so we're just hamstrung, which is why, like, the High Republic is a really interesting era for us to explore because it's completely new. It's tied to nothing. Like, it is completely, like, that is that's something that's completely fresh. It's being explored. And then whatever happens after Episode 9. Because there's no room for that in the way that Disney's restructured everything, where they've made all that old stuff legends. It's not canon anymore. It's fine if people want, if people would want to read that stuff, want to play that stuff. So that's fine, but it's not, didn't actually happen anymore. It's just essentially it's fan fiction at this stage.
Don't you guys want to get away from the Skywalker saga? I mean, I'm a bit sick of it.
Yeah.
I don't want to see those characters.
Star Wars is all about the Skywalker bloodline, isn't it? It's a Skywalker story.
It's time to start some new characters, and that's what they're kind of doing, and they have been able to do well.
Mm. Well, I love Cal. I reckon Cal's a great character. And as much as, it's sort of hamstrung because it's still tied to whatever was happening around the time of the end of Episode 3 and before Episode 4, there still is creativity there, but it's not, I get what Vike means. It's not to the same magnitude as what we're used to in the Star Wars
because
universe.
Because it's canon. This is considered canon.
Yeah, because it happened. Like, all this stuff happened.
Mm.
You've nailed it, Jules. Mm. I think it's purely because it's in between Episode 3 and 4. It's like if you had a Harry Hogwarts Legacy was set between like the second and third movie. Or the third and fourth. Mm. It's like, what can you really do? You can't do anything really.
And that's why they had to go so far before the events of the first one. But even then, it was for me anyway, it was still like, oh, who really cares? Maybe that was because that story was so lackluster. But it's also because, like, oh, who cares? Because they have to avoid all the Tom Riddle stuff when he's at Hogwarts and that. They have to do it even earlier, and then they can't really go later because then you have to deal with all Harry's offspring and stuff at the school. So
you make a good point, George.
You mentioned Disney hamstring them a bit. Well, it's funny because the mission with the bounty, with Cage, how she's how much have you done of that? Have you seen where it leads?
I've seen like 4 or 5.
I won't spoil it, but it leads to a big character coming in anyway. And then, so what happened with her, Cage, is that she had some scenes where she was drunk, supposedly drunk and that sort of thing, but Disney removed those scenes. So they're still, and it's also, another thing is there's no blood in the game. As you can see, there's no, the dismemberment's very clean. So Disney have definitely got their hands all over this game. In many respects. Yeah. And even with the Darth Vader stuff, the way he's placed is very deliberate, very small chunks.
100%.
So.
No, it's, I'm
looking forward to what they do in the next one. If they wrap it up with a third game, I'm guessing that's
I reckon
will happen. Yeah.
I have trilogy? Nowhere near the end, but I would assume trilogy.
Yeah. Great trilogy. They've done well.
They've done really well. Respawn have done a good job. It sucks that they've been riddled with performance issues, but the game itself is great, you know. And I can't tell anyone to overlook that because that is frustrating. And it's annoying when you play for 20 minutes without a save and you've lost it all and have to bloody go through it all over again, including like a legendary boss battle I'll have to do again. And it was so frustrating. But yeah, it is what it is.
I guess. I've had some performance problems in terms of some frame rate, only in a few areas, but no crashes or anything. So I guess I'm lucky in that respect.
So you've been playing Jedi Survivor, Jordan?
Yeah, yeah.
What else have you been playing?
So I've also played Horizon Burning Shores. So I think nice. I'm typically known as the non-DLC guy.
Because, here you are.
Yeah, but DLC. Because honestly, it was because the there was a bit of a drought in between, like as I was waiting for Jedi Survivor. Is that what it's called? Survivor? Yeah, Survivor now.
Yeah.
There's a bit of a drought and I was like, what do I do? I'd played Resident Evil 2, so I finished Leon's campaign. I haven't gone back to do Claire's side yet, but I finished Leon's campaign. And Horizon Forbidden West was added to the PS Plus collection for extra. Well, not the collection, but you know, whatever it is, PS Plus extra tier. And so I was like, well, I sold Forbidden West, so I could download Forbidden West and then just buy the DLC. So that was what I did. So the DLC is pretty good. I quite liked it. I think Aloy is the most human she's been ever. They do some really, not interesting, but they do some things that make her a much more compelling character and make her much more human and make her interactions with people seem not so robotic and so just bland. And really? There's a character.
So there's a noticeable difference.
I feel like because of the character she's interacting with and the nature of their interactions, I would say. And also because the character she's interacting with is just interesting and is
cool.
Acted really well.
That's great.
It's not a game-changing character. It's not like...
No.
Yeah, it's not like it's a character who's from Far Zenith who is coming here to change the planet or whatever.
No, but just the fact that you care is a step forward.
I care. Like, I remember her name. I couldn't tell you any other character's name from...
Yeah,
like that's the rest of her cast of characters. Yeah, so, yeah, I quite liked it. The DLC itself was fine. It has the same problem that I struggle with DLC where it's like, does this really matter?
Boss fights? Many boss fights?
There's some boss fights. There's a really big boss fight at the end.
Okay.
Which is like, oh, wow, that's awesome. That's a really big boss fight. But then it sort of felt like it was designed in the mid-2000s or like, it felt like a really early God of War 1 boss fight, the way the waves were set up and everything. Right.
Yeah, three but waves. Like, take down the certain body parts.
Yeah.
What?
That's yeah, what I mean. Aim at the big red flashing thing while they do this move. That sort of stuff. Dodge the three tentacles that get you.
Yeah.
So yeah, there was a bit of that to it, which is still fine. It was still fun. There was only one new machine other than one of the bosses, which I thought was kind of disappointing.
I would
have liked to have seen more. There's some cool landscapes, and because this is designed for only the PS5, not the PS4. There is some interesting things they do with the landscapes, especially the way they quickly change. So you're going from like a lava sort of area right into another forest.
Oh, that's cool.
And then
you're
going into the ocean. And then there is a new mount. So there is that. So there's a new mount. I don't know if this is spoilers.
In the air?
And the water.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. So that's really cool. And like you need that for... a part of what you're doing. So the premise is basically like there's a Far Zenith guy who's left on Earth, and it's your job to go find him and take him down. And he's hiding out in the hills of Hollywood.
That's right. It's set in Hollywood.
Yeah, which is cool. I would have thought there'd be more location cameos. I don't know how else to say it. Like really cool places where it's like, oh, wow, this is that. But it's like...
Don't tell me it's just the sign. That's it.
There's the sign, and then there's what I think is supposed to be Universal Studios, and that's about it, from what I noticed anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a few other things, and like I didn't tackle any of the side content because I had no interest in that. So there might be some...
How long is it, by the way, Jordan?
It took me... So I golden passed it, straight golden passed it. Didn't do a single side thing because I wasn't interested.
Yep.
It took me... 4 to 5 hours.
Cool.
There is quite a bit of compelling side content for people who are after that, though.
Jeez. So well, and this is all within there. This DLC only?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think How Long to Beat says it's about 8 hours and then, or 7.5. And then if you do main and story, it's a story and side stuff, it's like 12.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Is side content compelling, Jules? Is it story based or just?
I think it's character based. So I think it's like there's some characters, we've lost our kid's shoes. Can you go get them from the Thunder Jaw who stole them? Like, you know, that sort of stuff. there's a Thunder Jaw walking around in Reebok pumps in the middle of the San Fernando Valley.
I'm desperate to ask a spoiler question, so anyone wants to quickly go past. But Lance Reddick.
Yep.
How do they deal with him? Because he sadly passed away.
Yep. So, like, since you've asked, I can quickly explain it. If Vike doesn't want to hear it, obviously, we can hold our hands up or whatever. So, he's in it at the start and he sort of sets you off on your journey to go where you need to go.
Yeah.
And then, as far as I understand, that's all you hear from him. There might be some things hidden in the game that are like a touchstone to him. My thought would be they're not going to waste that on a DLC and at the start of Horizon 3, something may happen to him, or they quietly write him off and there's a tribute to him and that's the way they do it. I wouldn't think they do it in a DLC that a small percentage of the player base will touch.
Yeah.
I want to ask you guys a question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys think it is unethical or bad taste to recast Silence or to recast a character that is portrayed by an actor who has sadly passed away? Not unethical, just bad taste.
I think it depends where you are in the story.
Because let me put it like this. Silence is a background character, right? Like, yeah, I know he's probably prominent in Horizon 1, but he's always been a background character. But he's a really important background character. Like, he's pretty big in a lot of the Horizon game. He's always been the guy behind the scenes doing everything and setting up, and he's sort of necessary for the story in a very minimal but important way. And I do wonder what they're going to do with the character of Silence, because writing Silence off, you can't reintroduce a new Silence. Like, it's just, there's too much that's happened in the story that for that new Silence character to have done nothing this whole time sort of thing. And it's obviously very tragic, and Lance Reddick is the one and only Silence. Like, his voice is so iconic in so many different games, but I don't know. I don't know what Horizon are going to do, and I wonder if they could potentially recast Silence so that character at least stays in the story. But yeah, I don't know. I was just wondering what you guys thought.
The only recent example I can think of is Black Panther, and they didn't write him. They didn't recast him.
And that's,
That was sort of like twofold. It was sort of due to the nature of his death and how secret it was. Like, not his death, but his battle, how secret it was. And then also the importance of what T'Challa became to pop culture and what the movie meant, where, like, as great as Lance Reddick is as Silence, that's nowhere near on the same – like, the character of Silence is nowhere – not even – close to the same magnitude as T'Challa.
The same reach, yeah.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, like, it's not just voice acting. I thought, like, oh, you know, it's a voice actor, but his likeness. Silence is the Lance's likeness.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
And he would have done the mocap. So,
well, that's why I think you have to write it. You have to do something. You can't keep going with the character from here.
I think it depends on what, because I remember us talking at the end of Horizon 1 and thinking about what was going to happen in Forbidden West. I don't know if you guys, I can't remember if we all agreed or not, but I thought it was going to turn out that like Silence was actually a bad dude the whole time.
Yeah.
Because sort of just teased. Like this, ends justifies the means type guy, isn't he? He's just I'm the one who gets it done, even if it's the bad thing to do. It's for the greater good sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I could have foreseen us going through the events of number 3 and then it being Aloy and Silence at the end, and Silence going to go and do something evil, and then the real end thing is you against Silence. I could have seen that end.
Yeah, I thought it was heading there personally.
Yeah, but I don't know where they go from here. I don't know whether they change it. It sort of just depends on what they wanted him to be in the third one. and what they still want or they think they can pull off.
I think he would have been a huge part.
Yeah, because I still want to, if they are going to recast, it needs to be almost exactly the same as like the voice almost needs to be exactly the same and just as quality of performance. It needs to be that.
I love the frenemy relationship that Aloy and Silence have. Like, I love it. And I was hoping that the frenemies become friends or enemies, I guess, but friends for me. But yeah, it's a good relationship. And like you said, Jules, if they do recast Lance, it has to be done tastefully and the right person, which I have no idea who it would be. And look, if you know, the writers know what they're doing, but it's so tragic, isn't it? But yeah, I guess you have to wait and see. But I was just wondering, I'm trying to think of an example where they have recast a character who's like, there are people who have left shows, that's different, but I'm pretty sure there are people who've
recast. One that I can think of, it's a lesser known example. There was a Starz TV show years ago called Spartacus, and the main character from the first season of Spartacus was ill, and they halted filming. They filmed a prequel season while they thought he was going to get better, and then he wasn't going to get better, and they were going to cancel it. And he was like, don't cancel it. Like, don't do that. Just recast me. I give my blessing to it. Yeah, recast me, and we can go from there.
It's like The Witcher with Henry Cavill and Liam Hemsworth, isn't it? But the other notable one I think of is the show Superman and Lois, where he has two sons, and one of the sons left the show, so they just recast him. And because then Jonathan and Jordan Kent are pretty important characters, so they couldn't just let, you know, one of the sons just go somewhere else. But it's so jarring.
It's jarring. It is jarring.
Yeah.
But then again, it wasn't jarring in The Dark Knight. Do you remember The Dark Knight? It was Jake Gyllenhaal.
Maggie Gyllenhaal. And what's her name? Katie Holmes.
Yeah.
I actually liked Katie Holmes more.
Did you?
Do you know, I didn't see Batman Begins before Dark Knight Rises, so I go watch Batman Begins and I'm like, who are you?
I'm not wearing hockey pads.
I wonder if she regrets not being in the second one.
Surely.
Yeah.
One last question on Horizon before we go. Another thing I'm pretty sure we've spoken about before. Surely we're getting an evil Aloy clone in Horizon 3, right? Like, we've already had, like, we've had Beta. Charlie. And surely it starts with C. Yeah, surely it's going to start with C.
Or Gamma. It's either Gamma or Charlie.
It'll be something like that.
Yeah, that's true. I was going to say this actually, because I know that the Forbidden West DLC, Burning Shores, it's a bridge between 2 and 3, or the proverbial sequel.
Yeah.
I wonder what you guys think, because that's DLC that's meaningful, right? Like, they made two big design decisions with this. You have to finish Forbidden West, which is pretty big, to play this DLC. And also, arguably, if you're going to play Horizon 3, Burning Shores is something you probably would want to play.
Yeah, this character will be, this new character, so like her friend Saika, will be in arguably, that's interesting the way it ends. It does have a pretty good ending too. The way it ends, it's actually quite an emotional ending. It's like, oh, that's interesting. I didn't see it going that way. I forgot about the way that it ends.
I like that the DLC is meaningful. Like, we get so many side stories that maybe flesh out a character well, and that could be, you know, First Light is great. It talked about Fetch, and that was a prequel. But I'm talking about DLCs that are sequels that don't really do much for the story. At least they've doubled down. And I don't know. I know a lot of people have said, you know, the sales on this one will be a lot lower because they've just alienated so many people, because all these people who might have wanted to try Burning Shores have never completed Horizon 2 and they can't play it. But I just think, if you haven't completed Horizon 2, what would make you want to play the DLC?
You're going to spend another $30 to play the DLC.
I don't understand what your allure would be to play the DLC. I don't know, Dan, if you have a rebuttal to that, but yeah, I don't know. I like the fact that they've doubled down. Like, I like that they're going all in and said, no, this is going to be relevant to the story, because I want DLC that's meaningful, that's impactful.
They're going to, you do know they're going to do a ultimate game edition with everything in for a cheaper price in a year.
The director's cut.
Because do we reckon Horizon 3 could be launch PS6?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Actually, they might fit it in just before then.
Yeah, we'll have to see. have to see.
How long did it take him to do this?
Yeah.
How long did it take him to do this? 5 years?
2017 to 2022.
Yeah. You'd think the
PS6. What have you been playing?
I've been playing, it's not a PS5 game though. It's a little game called Tears of the Kingdom. Have you heard of it, guys?
I have.
Yeah. It got what was the reviews?
Is it 96 on Open Critic? Or 97? Yeah,
this is getting ridiculous, guys. This fanboyism of Nintendo. Whoa. Can we talk about this?
You don't think it deserves a 97?
I mean, it's a damn good game, but
yeah,
I can't help but compare it to Elden Ring, and Elden Ring beats it in every metric.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
I haven't played it, and I have no intention of playing it because it's just I don't see the allure or the interest. And I look at it, and I'm like, there must be something I'm missing here. There must be a lot I'm missing because that's not even me being like a hater because like I have a Switch, I could play it if I wanted to. I'm just not going to. I just look at it, and I'm like, no.
And I know that you're the same as me, Jordan. It won't grab you like it does with everyone else. And maybe it is just maybe there is a lot of nostalgia for these other people that have grew up with it. It could be that, but I just don't see it. Like the story doesn't compel me. The combat doesn't do much for me. It's very basic. It feels 20 years old. The combat. Yes, there's amazing exploration. Yes, the actual puzzle solving is incredible. Like what you can do in that aspect is a 10 out of 10. But in many other aspects like performance and frame drops, you're looking at 20 frames at some points.
That's hardware. That's Switch.
I mean, you can't help but think, what if this was on PS5 or something with a bit more power, what they could do? I mean, it's pretty incredible how the game's only 17 gig. I'll give them that.
I couldn't believe it. A lot of credit.
Yeah, I'll give him a lot of credit. Yeah.
Made for the Switch.
For the Switch.
With that little space.
Yeah. Like,
I'll tell you what. One, props to Nintendo because they know how to take care of their ecosystem with like games like Mario and Zelda, and you know, that are just specifically designed for this system. But it's not, you don't feel the limitations of a Switch. Like with those games, you know, yes, you're not going to be playing the latest Call of Duty or you're going to be playing the next Mass Effect game, but you can see the games that it has, they're taken care of. The Nintendo people, they're taken care of. They've got their own first party titles that are these amazing experiences that are really well done to the point where you don't even see the limitation of the Switch. You don't feel it for those first party titles.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, there's things I love. Like, I love the music. The music's always been amazing in Zelda. I even like the cooking aspects and the survival aspects. That's all great for me. But when it comes down to it, story, combat are two of the big pillars for me that I look for. And in this game, they're just not grabbing me. And for a game that's 50 hours to beat the story, and then 80, 90 to do everything. It's not going to be enough for me. And I just don't know if I'm even going to finish it. I'm about 15 hours in. So I'm in that spot now where it's like, either give it up now or you push through to the end.
Yeah. You're in for a penny, in for a pound at this stage.
Yeah. And I hate the weapon durability as well. They haven't changed that from Breath of the Wild.
We're so similar, Dan. We're the same. Because I hear the talk of weapon durability, and I'm like, that sounds disgusting.
We're just not Nintendo guys, I don't think.
Nah.
What do you guys think about weapon durability, about guns jamming, needing repair, conditions, you know, conditions placed on weapons? What are you guys' thoughts on that? Because it's very divisive, I feel like.
Well, give me some examples. Give me some other examples.
Yeah. So I think in the older Far Cry games, you had your weapon degrades.
You can have older weapons. You can pick up old rusty weapons and they jam and stuff.
Yeah. Or in Fallout New Vegas, one of my favorites, the performance, you have to repair the weapon and it degrades from memory.
There's a balance they've got to strike. In this game, 4 hits and the weapon's done. It's too quick.
Yeah.
It's too quick.
There's got to
be some sort of longevity, not like just some sort of. You know, there's got to be a right balance.
We also want to be like, the reason we play games is we want to escape. We don't want to be like budgeting with our hits and stuff. You want to feel empowered. And like, it's the same thing as like in Fallout being over encumbered and stuff. It's like, or like having a number of slots in an inventory, in an inventory or whatever you want to call it. Like, stop. It's not real.
If I had that with Hogwarts recently.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Hogwarts are so annoying. I'd have to go to the freaking Hogsmeade shop every time and sell all these cows and crap and glasses, and it was so annoying. Like, I think there is a place for inventory management. Like, I understand that, hey, we don't want you to be... I'm in both, Jorts, because a game like Fallout, you have unlimited inventory in a way because you can store stuff, especially the new one. But yeah, over-encumbered is frustrating, which is why so many times I just have a power suit and I'd have psycho buff and like strength to 11 and I'd still get over-encumbered with all these buffs. But, you know, I remember when playing the original Deus Ex, one of my favorite games on PC, and you had this... The inventory system is like, you're always saying Tetris, because obviously bigger weapons took up more squares and you had to like place it, and you could like place it in a way to fit all of them.
Yeah, that's Resident Evil, man.
That's Death Stranding.
Yeah.
And, Death Stranding,
it helps you not be too overpowered that you've got every weapon in the game. You have to be careful. But I get what you're saying, Jordan, where like the realism trumps the convenience in a way.
Yeah.
And there's probably, I think it's a case-by-case basis, because it's annoying in some games. Like, you know, the latest Far Cry, I don't need weapon degradation. It's not there, but I'm saying if there was a new Far Cry, I wouldn't need it. But maybe a survivalist game.
Survival horror is the only.
Yeah, because survival horror, if your weapon jams at a scary moment, that's like, that's awesome. That's like a scary feeling. That's part of the scariness. Yeah. But yeah, I don't need to.
Yeah, but if I'm taking down a guard tower in Far Cry and my bow snaps or whatever, I'm just like, this is dumb.
The bow snaps. I've had 100 bow snap in this game, man.
It's really risk reward. Like, I think the risk reward is actually really high. So I think most games should probably steer away from it. And there's only very few cases where you want it, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, look, there's no doubt that this game's pretty damn good, but it's just not for me. Like, there's just some games that you're just not going to resonate with. And I think this is a series for me that is just one of those ones.
Yeah.
And you know, Jordan, you'd probably be the same. I don't know about you, Vike. You might like this one more than us.
Well, it got me 34 points on Fantasy Critics, so I do love the game.
Oh, and that's another thing. You do owe it a little bit. Fucking hell, the critic. Yeah. I would probably give the game an 8 right now. I'm not at 15 hours in. And imagine if I gave it an 8, you'd be crucified online. It's ridiculous.
This is the one thing that annoys me about reviewers, is that they get crucified. None of these guys have played the game, but if they don't see a 10 out of 10, they are getting and fireballs. Yeah. And then that scares companies like IGN. Like, I don't think Metal Gear Solid 5 deserved the 10, but
you reckon they got scared into it?
They got scared into it. I remember when Man of Steel got an 8 out of 10 and it was a disliked by, you know, all the people and I watched the IGN videos. They were, you know, harping on about them. And then you realize when you go into the movie, it is probably a 7 or 8 out of 10, but I think a lot of people, okay, Jordan, maybe it's a 6, but you know what I mean? Or did you like
a 5? I reckon a 5 at best.
I think Man of Steel's a 7 in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think it just comes down to opinion. Like, I don't get stuck on review scores as I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah.
No, I don't
which
really
is, which is what like, you should do.
Yeah. I'm just like, oh, that's your opinion. That's fine. Like, clearly people like Zelda more than me. And like, I didn't grow up playing Zelda. So like, part of that helps as well. The reason I love God of War so much, probably more than most people, is because I've played the originals so many times and grew up playing it. Exactly. And so, yeah. We do have our own personal biases that come into it, and yeah.
But the thing is, you got to understand, I went into this wanting to give it a 10, wanting to love it, as I do with most games. I want to love what I'm playing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying, like, Dan, you're wrong for not giving it a 10 because
I know.
You need to remember, like, the people who reviewing Zelda right now are probably the ones who have been put on because, like, I'm the Zelda person. Let me play Zelda.
Well, that's another thing. That's true.
Yeah.
That's exactly true.
And that there is an element of like, well, yeah, that makes sense. Cause like they wouldn't put me on there to review Zelda. Why would they do that? I'm not the Zelda person.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's also good to get fresh opinions too.
Yeah. I know that's definitely there as well, but you also want someone to know. Because like I could be like I could be looking at the story and I'm like, oh, and there's this blonde bird who won't shut up and you know, what's her good deal? And people are like, that's Zelda, you dummy. I'm like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah. I just think it's, you know, when people try to like control other people's opinions, like IGN, you shouldn't have given Zelda a 9. You know, how dare you? It's a 10. Like it's someone's opinion. But I get, there are cases where it's probably like, you know, there's clearly a bias against the game. Like some reviewers will give like The Last of Us a 6, or The Washington Post gave Uncharted 4 like a 4 out of 10 or something. And it's like, okay, that's, there's a clear bias against it. Or, you know, I think Wired magazine gave Hogwarts Legacy like a 1.
Yeah. And I'm not giving, as I said, I give this an 8, but even an 8 would be considered low to these people.
Not, but you don't have a bias. That's what I'm saying. If it's an unbiased opinion, then everything is valid. But if it's a bias, then you can call that out. But anyway, my two cents. I think it's the other way around. I think that a lot of these review outlets are biased with Nintendo. So
No, that's what I think. I think they are biased too. 100%.
Game Informer though, 9.75, Dan. They didn't give Zelda a 14 out of 10. So that's a big move by them.
Yeah, but I really don't want this to win Game of the Year. Is that bad of me to say? It's
definitely going to. Nothing.
Sorry, Dan.
I know it is. It's already won. Dan, it's already won. Pack up the bags. Pack go up home.
The only thing that can step in its way now is wait for Lord of the Rings Gollum to come out, boys. Knocking them all out of the park.
Lord of the Rings Gollum. You've lost the plot. Oh shit. There is actually
Spider-Man.
Nah. There's no game that can beat it.
Doesn't Gollum come out in a few weeks? I'm looking at you guys keep chatting. I'm figuring
I've looked at the releases that can come out this year and it's over. This is one game of the year. And that kind of pisses me off.
There's no other game. That's what I'm saying. Hideo Kojima, Corey Barlog, and Miyazaki could team up to make the ultimate Metal Gear or God of War.
And then still lose,
And just, they'll lose. It's Zelda.
Yeah, they'd get a 95.
Boys. 9 days from now, we'll be playing Lord of the Rings Gollum.
I'm playing it, by the way. I've decided.
I'm playing it.
Yeah,
I've decided.
I'm playing it. I'm getting around the hype.
Oh, no, come on, guys. Come on.
Nah, but you know what I actually am playing this week? It comes out later this week, Outlast Trials.
Oh, nice.
No marketing on that game at all, which is very, very not a good sign. Let's just say
that. Very, very not a good sign. Outlast is really fun.
Outlast 1 and 2 are great, and then this one's come out. It's a co-op experience. We'll see. I'll let you know next week. Okay, let's get into a bit of the news quickly here, guys. So first off, Mortal Kombat.
Big rumors on Mortal Kombat.
Big kangaroo rumors. Big ones. Big pouches on them.
That's not a Joey, mate. That's a kangaroo.
Before we start on this, why is it that all the big fighting games come out in the same year? Tekken, Street Fighter, or they're always lining up at the same time? Is there like, have they got a secret fighting game board meeting where they all come in and talk? Knows?
It's like probably the Zeitgeist.
The Illuminati. That's what it is.
The fighting game Illuminati.
It's the Illuminati to make sure that Battle Arena, whatever it was from the PS1, never comes back.
You got to remember, Sony bought E3. Not E3, sorry. What am I saying? Evo.
Sony bought E3. Shit, they're not utilizing it.
Sony bought Evo. That's going to be huge for them. You're going to see the newest Street Fighter, the newest Tekken, the newest Mortal Kombat in the one tournament. They're going to make a bank. But going back to the Mortal Kombat 1 reveal, Mortal Kombat 1 is the proposed storyline. And what we have to back this up is there was a video that Ed Boon put on his Twitter. It essentially says, does anyone know what time it is? And it's just a video of a clock. But the clock goes to 9, 10, 11, signifying Mortal Kombat 9, Mortal Kombat 10, Mortal Kombat 11. It skips 12 and goes straight to 1.
Classic Ed.
So people are thinking that it's going to be a Mortal Kombat 1. And maybe, I guess they're trying to say, is it going to be a complete reboot? I kind of hope it is. I think Mortal Kombat 9 is one of the best storylines, hands down. It is the best Mortal Kombat.
It is the best Mortal Kombat story.
Because it sums up Mortal Kombat. It is Mortal Kombat 1, 2, and 3, all redone faithfully. Every character, great roster. I like the actual mechanics and the dashing. I really, really enjoyed it. I know that Cyrax had like beyond 100% combos, but you know, it was a really fun game.
It was fun, though.
It was the crypt, the towers, it started it all. And oh, just the fatalities, you know, it's X-rays. It's really good. And I just think Mortal Kombat's gone a bit too far. It's doing too much at the moment. They need to bring it back. And I'm not a huge fan of the way they've gone with the story as well. So I love this idea of a reboot. I hope that it really goes back to its roots. I really still hope that they just redo Mortal Kombat 9. Just give us Mortal Kombat 9 with better graphics, more fleshed out characters and storylines, and just Mortal Kombat 9 is perfect. Just keep it. But
why wouldn't they do Mortal Kombat 12? Why would they go back to one? I think it's
well, it's in due time for a reboot. Like, you know, Shinnok and Shao Kahn, like I think it's due for a reboot. Also, the DLC, well, I forgot what it was called. I played it. I just looked at the title of it. Aftermath. It was time travel. Aftermath. So they've essentially like reset the timeline. So it kind of works with that story. So I hope that there's nods, and I want to see the Mortal Kombat kids like Cassie and you know, Jackie and, you know, Takeda and stuff. I still want to see them around. So I don't want it to be like an erased storyline, but yeah, I want to see Mortal Kombat sort of start again. Mortal Kombat 9 was a really great start. I didn't like where they went with 10 and 11. So yeah, he's hoping that do it really well.
Have you heard who could be the guest characters?
Was it Homelander?
Homelander and Peacemaker. That's actually pretty damn cool.
That is good. Homelander would just be the Superman clone, but Homelander would be phenomenal, and Peacemaker would go viral
on YouTube.
Yeah. And I want to see.
Please get Anthony Starr to voice him.
Yeah, you'd hope so. Yeah.
Mm. I just wonder what the Nvidia leak said about Injustice 3: Gods May Fall. I wonder what's going on with that. And
it could be in development. They're a big studio. NetherRealm.
Yeah.
Their games.
Yeah, but you would have thought that. But they went MK. They went Injustice MKX, Injustice 2, MK11. So you would have thought that Injustice 3 would come next, unless they've had problems with it. Part of me would think like WB has had its fair share of cancellations and all that sort of stuff going on. So whether they sort of shelved it for a little bit, were like, let's do, you know, what's it called? Mortal Kombat, and then we'll come back to Injustice 3 after. They could.
Yeah.
Could be an idea.
Yeah, well, there's rumors of a Marvel one they're doing.
I can't see that happening personally. I reckon it'll be Injustice, but like the next thing they do. But we said that this time and we were wrong. So,
So also the standard version was leaked or rumored as well, $70. The Switch version, and then there was a premium version and a collector's edition with a K. And they were targeting September this year.
September's going to be stacked if it plays out the way it could. Remember, that was when Spider-Man 2, was it Tony Todd was saying, the voice actor for Venom was saying that was when Spider-Man was going to come out. I think, not Doom, what's it called? Diablo's coming out in September.
There is room for these games because I've looked at what's coming and nothing's really announced.
Armored Core, isn't that September?
Nothing's announced for the end of the year. Like, obviously, a Call of Duty will come out, but besides that,
which apparently is Modern Warfare 3.
Well, yeah, that's our next story, which we'll go into now.
I didn't even see that.
Modern Warfare 3.
Great segue, Jordan. Yeah. Well done,
accidental
mate.
Accidental segue.
Is coming from Sledgehammer, apparently. What is going on over there? And what? Wouldn't it be Treyarch? Like, it's all over the shop how things have played out, don't you think?
Dan, correct me if I'm wrong, weren't they saying that there's going to be story DLC this year? They actually...
That's what Jason Schreier, he was adamant that it was going to be a premium DLC for Modern Warfare 2. It sounds like they've turned that into a full game, which is a good sign.
But here's the thing. You know, Sledgehammer did, World War II, Jords? and Dan, and they did Infinite. So,
and yeah, Infinite with Jon Snow. Think,
Jon Snow. Infinite. Wrong,
no, no, no. Right? They did Advanced. They did Advanced.
Oh, yeah. Infinite was Infinity Ward. Infinity Sorry. Ward. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
With Kevin Spacey. Democracy. Yeah. So I love Kevin Spacey in that.
But they did. They have assisted. Manifest. They have assisted on pretty much every COD the last 5 years in some capacity. And so it's not like they're not around it.
No.
Here's what I'll say. I actually really enjoyed Advanced Warfare. I thought even the multiplayer was fun. But there's something about the Modern Warfare engine that's really good. It's the sounds, the gunplay, the realism.
Sounds.
It's really good. So, and if they're just saying, here's Modern Warfare 3 that Sledgehammer are doing, but it's on Infinity Ward's engine and it's based on that build, then I can see what they're saying where Jason Schreier might have confused it for a DLC because it's being based off the same asset, same game, same engine, but they've just fully fleshed it out. Mm-hmm. And look, I know it's a risk because people are just going to see that this is literally the same thing, same Call of Duty, same maps, but I don't know, more of what people want, yeah. I guess.
So in the article, it does say that Tom Henderson says the reports were accurate at one point that it was going to be a DLC, but plans changed, and it's now going to be a full-fledged sequel to MW2.
I wonder what the multiplayer, I wonder what this means for Warzone.
It says, it also says, new Warzone map will be inspired
Los Alamos,
by Las Almas.
Yeah.
And it's allegedly, so the Warzone wasn't supposed to be out until, I think, December. The thing said 10th of December.
The previous rumors were saying that Ghost was who you play as in the campaign, and he was the main character. So that's probably where they're going to go with that. It makes sense too, but we don't. You know, the thing is, the last few reveals of the next CODs have been through Warzone during the middle of the year, around that E3 time. So presumably they'll do another event like that to reveal this game, I guess.
Dan Allen, I want to ask you, what is the state, and Jordan would know too, Warzone. I don't. What is the state of Warzone at the moment?
In what aspect?
I think it's still juggernauting, but I'm not playing. Like I tried it and it didn't have the same hooks in me that Verdansk had at the time.
I agree, George. It didn't hook me in like Warzone 1.
I don't know whether, though. I honestly think part of that was time and place where we were locked down. It was like I had the part of like Warzone for me is you need to get into a rhythm. And I remember playing Warzone right at the start when it came out and I didn't like it. And then I found people to play with, played it consistently. And then we were in a rhythm and it was an every night thing. And because like we're not in lockdown now, I don't really have the same opportunity as I did then. And so I think that hampers my enjoyment of it. I think the maps are significantly, maybe not significantly, I just don't think they're as good as Verdansk was, which doesn't help either. And there's something about the engine that Verdansk used where everything felt crisp, the weapons felt good. It didn't
the
get
engine, it's just the movement. It's the movement.
Nothing the movement, beats Verdansk.
Yeah, the movement's awesome.
The movement has slowed down in this new one. But they had to try. They cornered themselves because they had to try something. Everyone wanted a new map. Everyone wanted new guns and new things. And then when they gave it to them, they liked the old stuff.
I don't know, Dan. I think they changed a bit too much. Like the inventory system, the looting. Well, this is the thing of it. It's just too much. It's too PUBG.
It's too much. Well, they got to try something. That could have worked. It might not have. And obviously, it didn't work. So they'll probably go back to what it was previously.
It'll be fresh again.
It'll be fresh again. Yeah. Exactly.
The fun thing about Warzone was its simplicity. I didn't need some epic inventory management like PUBG where I just sit in menus and fiddle around. Or it's not as
It's not that bad, but it is. Fortnite. Yeah, it's not as...
You know?
Yeah.
It was a good middle ground where...
I'll give them this. The ricochet has been pretty good. Like the hackers, I remember back in 2021, the hackers were rampant. I was so complaining about it on this podcast. Now they're almost non-existent. They're still around, but they're not as bad. And the movement needs to change. Everyone in the community is talking about that. But they've added ranked. They've added a ranked mode now, which is giving it a slight resurgence. But still, at the core of it, the gameplay isn't what it was during that COVID time. And the map's fine, as you said. The maps, they're not as it's not as good as Verdansk, but it's still a fine map. It's just the core gameplay, as you said, and the core movement and that side of thing that's making people not want to play it. So if they go back to that in this one or get a bit closer, they should see a slight resurgence. But it's also been out for so long that just naturally dies off like any other game.
Mm.
You've also got that. It's been out for years.
Yeah.
So you guys have to think to yourself, what would bring you back? And it probably is, as dumb as it sounds, the map Verdansk would bring you back. Bring you back.
Mm.
Verdansk is bloody.
Am I wrong? Would that map bring you back?
I didn't want 100%. Verdansk to go in the first place. Like when they were talking about Caldera coming in, I was like, I don't really want this. This is not what I want.
Oh, Caldera was bad.
And it was really
too hilly.
We were justified in that, I think, in the end. Yeah.
Yeah.
How good was Verdansk, man?
No, so Caldera was a bad map, but this one's actually not pretty decent map.
Yeah. Maybe you're right, Dan. The map is like fine this time around.
Yeah.
It is a bit of the movement. The systems are just a bit too different. And it's not that they're different. It's just they're, when you want to innovate, you want to make sure that it's better or equal to, and it was neither. Yeah.
And they had the three circle thing, and there was just some weird things that they tried. But, they can't just, we would have been criticizing them if they did the exact same thing, probably. So it's one of those double-edged swords. But anyway, we'll keep an eye on Modern Warfare 3. Now, a couple more guys. Pixel Opus are no more.
Yeah, that was a shocker. Really sad. That sort of came out of nowhere.
They've been shut down.
Mm.
What's happened? They were working on a new game.
Yeah, they were working on a game from, it's just blanked my mind. I was just thinking about it because I checked the story before.
Concrete Genie.
Concrete Genie. They were working on something for there was talk it might have been a Spider-Verse game. Am I right?
Oh, I didn't know that.
The two main games they made were Entwined, which is in 2014, I think, and obviously Concrete Genie.
Yeah, but what were they working on at the moment for the last 3 years?
They were working on apparently a new game, PS5 game with Sony Pictures Animation.
That's what it was. And there was talk it could have been. There was talk it could have been Spider-Verse.
Yes.
No talk on what happened to the project either.
The studio tweeted, quote, adventure has come to its end. And it just looks like that they are essentially being shut down. So, dear friends, our Pixel Opus adventure has come to an end. As we look to new futures, we wanted to say a heartfelt thank you to the millions of passionate players who have supported us and our mission to make beautiful, imaginative games with heart. We are so grateful. So really sad, man. Like, obviously all these people are losing their jobs and their livelihood and insurance and things like that. There's a lot to it. And,
yeah, but surely Sony will, surely they've got jobs with Sony. You'd hope.
You'd hope, Dan, but you don't know. And I can understand the move to shut down Pixel Opus. Like Entwined was great and Concrete Genie was good, but gone. I feel like gone are the days of your journeys, your Entwines, your flow. Those games are now gone. Those sort of I don't know what you would call them. Some sort of double A or
1A.
Yeah, like that sort of stuff. So,
indie. Yeah, gone are those. Pretty much indie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, full fledged indie.
Yeah, exactly.
Not sure. Maybe Sony wasn't like, because Sony owned them, right?
Yeah.
They obviously weren't liking what they were making for the last few years, because why would you get rid of them? So maybe there wasn't enough progress being made or...
Yeah, potentially.
Yeah. I just think those games, like when I think of that games company where they made Journey and stuff, it's gone of those days, unfortunately. And, a studio like Concrete Genie, that's not what on. It's sad, and I don't agree with it, but that's not on Sony's radar. They want AAA experiences.
What did you rate Concrete Genie out of 10? You two.
I ended up giving like a 7.
That's the thing. 7's not 7's Xbox. So, I'd be better off with a 9. But do you know what I mean? Look what happened to Days Gone.
Yeah.
I don't know why I found that so funny.
I mean, I wish they were still around. I like Concrete Genie, but I probably agree. It's probably a seven. Solid little experience, but it's nothing special. I don't mean to be rude, but and either was entwined. I didn't think it was any. There was nothing remotely special bursting through. So I was hoping for that with their next game, but now we're never going to see it. So it's a shame.
It's a real shame. I hope that those who are laid off will find positions elsewhere, or Sony's retained them or is taking care of them. But the reality is, it's just probably not the reality that Sony just shut them down and shafted them. I can just see that Sony are clearly gone for a more AAA feel. Hopefully, Xbox Games Pass, there's an environment there for single A and double A. Hopefully, there's a place for them there and they make something good, but who knows? It's really sad. Really sad.
And then also,
see why Sony did it.
Deviation Games have been hit with layoffs. As many as 90 members of the staff have been affected. What is going on with them? They're working on a first-person shooter, which we've talked about a few times, and it's led by Dave Anthony. He worked on one of the Call of Duties. Jason Blundell left the studio.
Jason Blundell, he was former Activision guy.
Yep, he was from COD as well. He left, so it doesn't sound like...
He was one of the co-founders. He was a chief creative officer.
I know, that's what I'm saying. So obviously... something's going wrong there as well.
Mm.
Oh, man.
I do wonder what's going on at Sony, because we've got these apparently 10 live service games that are live service projects that are being made and
yet to see one.
We haven't seen anything that deviate. They had this weird appearance. Was it Summer Games Fest or whatever? Where two of them just like, we're Deviation Games and we're here to make something good. And I'm like, okay, well, show us something.
Show us.
Give us something. I have no idea what they're doing. So
yeah, but 90 members, that's crazy. Yeah,
it's a lot.
Like, but they're not shutting them down, but they've gotten rid of 90. I don't know. It's just, and then the co-founders left, and not good signs. That's all I'll say. So
definitely not.
Wonder what we're going to see very shortly at that possible showcase. Okay, and then lastly, guys, the May PlayStation Plus game catalog. The games have been announced. There's a few good ones in there. Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart is one of them. I've got to give a shout-out to my boys, Bend, who do the Siphon Filter. They've put all those Siphon Filters on PS5 with full trophy lists that are easy. I mean, you can't ask for
that. Hey, that's not bad. Yeah, so is that a part of the thing? So they've got the PS Plus Premium, like remaster classics or whatever. They come with trophies now as well, I think I saw.
Yeah, and there's a few other games that got trophies. Blade Dead.
They retroactively got them, yeah.
Yeah, Pursuit Force.
Yeah. This is a pretty solid month. These are like a lot of games that you would honestly find like at the JB 2 for $40 at the moment.
Yeah.
Like remember the old 2 for $40 deal? You'd go and get two, pick up two games. So it's like, that's not bad. These are all games that you're getting on there. Like even like the three Tomb Raiders, that's a really good deal. The Dishonored 2 and Death of the Outsider, that's ace.
And you got Humanity, which just came out.
That just came out, yeah. Yeah, that's a really good deal. PlayStation Plus Extra really is shaping out to be quite a good deal. I know that we talked about some games leaving, but there's always going to be games leaving. But if they keep adding quality like this, like last few months have been awesome. They've been really good.
Watch Dogs Legion, the game that could have been, is there as well.
Yeah, could it have been? I think what it was is exactly what it could be.
At least it had a unique concept. You could play as anyone. That's cool. But yeah, didn't work out.
No.
All right. No worries, guys. It's been a pleasure to be with you. Any final words? I know we do have a shout out, Vike. You want to shout someone out?
I'm currently eating.
I think that's why he went to you.
I trolled him. Jordan's got
I can
it.
Do it. So I just want to give a quick shout out to James Christensen. So he is a viewer who wrote in. So we won't read the whole message because it's quite a bit of a long one. But basically, he was saying that he's a 46-year-old man, recently divorced, and he's got three great kids. He discovered our podcast a few weeks ago, and he hasn't been able to stop listening. He's gone through our entire back catalog pretty much, and he's gone through it all, which is amazing. We're so glad to hear that he's enjoying it and that he's able to listen to our voices for that long, because Lord knows I get sick of my voice by the end of the day. So I'm pretty sure he wanted to give a shout out to his kids. So he's Mason, Gabe, and Kenya, I believe. And they're in the state of Utah in the US. So happy, what day is it? Happy Tuesday to you all over there as we're recording. We hope you're well. Hope you're enjoying whatever you're playing at the moment. Hope you enjoy listening to this episode. And yeah, thank you so much for the support, not just to you guys, but to everyone who has been listening with us. I know we've strung together quite a few quality episodes, I reckon. It's nice to be all back together, though. I think we can all agree. It's been a little while, 100%. But now that my wedding's out of the way, that's one less hurdle we need to worry about.
That's it.
And yeah.
Yeah, shout out to Mason, Gabe, and Kenya. And I haven't been to Utah, but I'll have to visit there one day.
Where our first international episode will be. In Utah.
And what
episode
should they?
200.
What should they rate us like out of from 1 to 5 on Spotify and Apple? What do you think they should rate us?
No less than a 5.
It's a lot of wiggle room. a lot of wiggle room for them.
I don't want to, take away your freedom of expression, but no less than a 5, please.
Did you hear what the new animal of the state of Utah is?
Oh, what God.
It? It's the kangaroo-ta.
Come on, George.
Oh, it's time to kangaroo wrap this up.
There we go.
Say walla bye bye.
Walla bye bye. You lost it. All right. We will see
you